Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into some of the quarterback situations around the NFL. So I'm going to do a rundown of basically all 32 quarterback situations over a couple episodes here. We'll talk about the situations that have some questions. We'll talk about the good backups, the guys that should be prioritized in super flex and two quarterback leagues, some of the questionable quarterback situations, and some of probably the avoid ones. So we'll do the questionable situations in this episode, we'll do the good ones in another episode, and then we'll do the sort of questionable and then what I would consider like not good situations in the last episode. So starting with the questionable situations, going first in New England, I've talked some about how I think that their offense could really change. It should not be surprising. It's going to be a more pocket-friendly approach, more pocket-focused approach with Mac Jones. With Cam Newton, yeah, they did some things. I'll give them credit for changing things up, for trying to do things a little bit differently. I don't think that's optimized in terms of what they want to do. I have heard repeatedly and from different forums and different places about how Cam Newton was essentially a really good team player. He's thought of really highly in New England. So, I wouldn't necessarily say that Mac Jones is a prohibitive, week one favorite, for example. I do think that there is some goodwill there with Cam. We'll see how that sort of works out. I think he probably has some sort of even shot to, or at least a shot, a fair shot, a fair shake, if you will, to be a starter week one. I hope for a lot of reasons it's Mac Jones. I hope primarily because I'm invested in the running back situation there, that it is Mac Jones. But we'll see. I think that of these, this is closer to 50-50, I would say, in terms of some of the other ones on this, I think are a little bit closer, further apart than that, more confident starters week one, shall we say, than this one. So I think this one's maybe closer to a coin flip. And I'm sort of rooting for the Mac Jones side to win out, hopefully earlier than later. And with Cam, we'll see if he kind of like an injury away type of guy going forward. Is that kind of where he's at? Almost along the lines of a Ryan Fitzpatrick type. I just wonder if at this point in his career, even if he does rebound as a passer, what is there for a multi-year ceiling for him for a team? So, we'll see with that situation. But I'm sort of rooting for Mac Jones early. Houston, obviously, there's a lot of things going on here. The Watson stuff, Tyrod versus Davis Mills. I'd be interested for them. It's a new staff, totally new staff. With the exception of Jack Easterby, if they don't give Mills a shot, he's got a very limited resume in college, some injury concerns, all that stuff that sort of shortened his abbreviated college career. But you kind of know what you have in Tyrod, and if it's not Watson, is Tyrod Taylor? The question I always ask in these things is, is Tyrod Taylor going to be the contributor to your next, championship threat? Your next time you're contending for a division championship? I don't, with this roster, I don't think so. So you give Mills a shot would sort of be my angle on this, but we'll see. It's a kind of volatile situation, largely revolving around the whole Watson saga. So, I think if I had to sort of put a chip down, I think the most likely week one starter is Watson, just because I think it's, I'm starting to lean towards that his suspension risk is lower than maybe we might have thought a while ago, in the height of it all. And I don't know if there's going to be a trade market for him this off season. It's going to be tough cap wise and stuff like that for a lot of reasons. So that would be the thing that I would, I'm I still think that there's teams out there that are going to be that are in the market for an elite quarterback. I'm just wondering at this point if the timing and the cap structure is going to happen. So my I think the most likely bet is Watson. I think Mills is an interesting, you know, variance play. You know, just I think, and that's if I was sort of running them, that would sort of be the angle that I would take. Let's just see what we have, because with Tyrod, like, we know he's probably not going to be the guy that we're going to settle on. With Mills, we don't know that, so let's rule it out or give ourselves some options. Denver, with Drew Lock, with Bridgewater, you got the Rodgers situation lurking. I'm not sure how that's all going to boil out. I think that's probably beyond our estimation. Locke is presumably higher upside than Bridgewater. You know, Bridgewater, we kind of know what we're going to get. It's going to be, you know, on the not super aggressive yards per attempt side, and it's going to be at or probably below touchdown rate historically is where he's performed. So all of those things, I'm a little cautious about that. I would go with Locke personally. Just, again, see what you have. Is Bridgewater going to be the guy that leads you to the next promised land? Probably not. Is Locke? Not sure. And so if that's the case, I think Locke's probably not, but there's, I think, a higher shot that that happens than Bridgewater. But I'm probably avoiding Locke. I mean, the writing's on the wall that they're not really totally in on him. There's some really questionable stuff in terms of his stats from last year. So I'm pretty much avoiding him. I think at a you know, fill-in replacement level, backup type situation for Bridgewater, I could find some of the appeal there, in terms of, you know, in terms of him in Superflex, in terms of him in 2QB, I sort of understand that, hey, he can come in and not sort of you know, throw up on himself. He's going in the quarterback 41 range. That's with Tyrod is right around there. You know, some other guys in that, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond. Drew Lock's going at 34 is his real draft position at the quarterback position. So yeah, these are both on basically outside the top 32 options. So not a great overall situation there. Chicago is interesting because on one hand, I was surprised that they were able to go ahead and trade future assets for a quarterback. I didn't necessarily think that that's what the ownership was going to do, given where the front office was in terms of what we thought of their standing. They go out, they get Fields. You know, the front office and the coaching staff is on sort of a shaky ground. It's thought to be. Do they sort of try the Fields angle sooner rather than later, to, you know, hope there's some upside, hope there's some development that happens to sort of save their jobs? I think that's a real possibility. They have Dalton, they have Nick Foles. It's sort of a cluster there. You know, hopefully they can sort of clear out that some of that cap stuff, and then next year is a whole new situation for them. Let's see Fields early would sort of be my thought on it. You know, with Dalton, he's one that's going to be kind of falling in price would sort of be my guess would be. Ultimately, he's at quarterback 36 is his median draft position at present. You know, I would suspect that's going to fall behind probably Bridgewater. Maybe there's some other guys in here. You know, I think I'd probably rather take a shot on like Trubisky a little bit later. He's going 47, for example. I'll talk about him in a future episode. That would sort of be my, at least with that one, I think we kind of know what the calculus is. It's, hey, Josh Allen gets hurt, Trubisky comes into a pretty good offense. Whereas Dalton, you know, it's kind of a cap situation almost no matter what happens, because Fields is going to get an opportunity. Green Bay, again, this all boils down to what happens with Rodgers, so we'll see there. Jordan Love, I think people have gotten sort of, it's become this Jordan Love sucks type of narrative out there. I'm not sure yet. You know, he's probably not, wouldn't have been my cup of tea early in an NFL draft. But listen, if you think there's like a 10, 15, 20% shot that he can be the guy, like, you take him exactly where they took him. That's you didn't have to mortgage a ton of future capital. They did trade up for him. So they must think that he's sort of better than the narrative is. Did they jack up some of the other picks in that class? Maybe. But again, from a team building perspective, you if you get a guy that you think is, hey, listen, there's like a 10-20% shot this guy's the guy, and we can get him in the late first round, I think you do it. And, you know, if they reassess, you know, he's not developing behind Rodgers, listen, it's a loss. But the hit rate on that in that range isn't super high anyways. So I think you take the shot. I don't fault them for that at all. I think they probably misplayed it in terms of how they dealt with Rodgers with it. But I'm sort of open to Love being a potential guy down the line. Quarterback 33 right now. He's going behind Roethlisberger in the past month. He's going behind Cam Newton in the past month, although I'm sure that'll change. He's going slightly behind Goff, which, again, it's only in the rankings of the position. It's only two or three spots, but it's actually, you know, like three rounds. So there's a pretty big gap there after Goff, who's going at a median of 28.5, and he's at 909. It's a pretty big chasm after that with Cam and Ben and Jordan Love and Fitzpatrick there coming off the board right after that. So he's in that range. I think he's the shot that you take, right? Between the Cam, Ben, Jordan Love tier. I mean, Fitzpatrick's going a little bit after him. Taysom Hill's going about a round later. Jimmy Garoppolo's going about that same range. I think if there's a guy that's a franchise quarterback from that range, it's probably Love. Again, what type of bet you want to make is really the question there. And the last one is Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And, you know, Garoppolo, I've sort of been on the negative Garoppolo angle for a while. I do think when you look at his stats, like top 10 in terms of some of the composite CPOE, EPA stats, which is really interesting from like an actual quarterback play, is he boosted by situation? Almost assuredly. Is he going to get another shot someplace? We'll see. I was listening to Trent Dilfer talk recently. He was talking on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he basically said the model of New England doing this a while ago, you know, drafting guys, developing them, and then using them as trade market. He's like, that's basically done. There's just so many guys coming out of college now that are sort of more attractive than that. And with the contract structure, we're just going to see more and more of that. So of teams going up and actually drafting rookies instead of trying to trade for someone that's been developing, you know. So the idea that Jordan Love's like a develop and trade asset, that sort of idea is done. Same thing kind of with Garoppolo, is sort of on that track. The suggestion was, and I agree with it to some degree, is that that sort of marketplace isn't really going to exist as much going forward. So that's an interesting thing to watch in terms of who would be a suitor for Garoppolo. And as you sort of look around, there's just not many situations where, given the money concern, it's going to be a notable increase. If you got to give him multi-years, you know, would you rather do that, or would you rather go on the young, cheap rookie? One of the most valuable things in all of professional football is a good quarterback on a rookie contract. And with Garoppolo, you're not paying that scale. So I think that's an interesting thing. Is he more of like a premium backup, sort of in the Ryan Fitzpatrick mold going forward? Or can he find his way into a second chance as a starter? The teams that I would think could potentially do that, maybe like a Washington. I'm trying to think of teams that would be in a tough spot to actually fill a quarterback need in the draft. And Washington's the type of team that I think could play themselves into being a division champ. You're picking late in the round. You're kind of stuck in a tweener spot with a long-term franchise quarterback. You're drafting too late to actually get him. It's cost prohibitive to move up. And is that a situation where you can say, hey, listen, we can try Garoppolo for a couple of years and see? Like, that would be the type of situation that I think might make some sense. So that would be, you know, I think his – could he see a starter season this year? I'm open to the idea that they could do anything, that he could start 3 games and be replaced, that he could start 16 games, you know, that he could start anything in between there. I do think he's probably the week 1 starter, and then we'll see sort of how he plays will be dependent on how Lance gets his opportunity. So those are the big questionable situations. Again, I don't think there's a ton of outside of the Rodgers stuff. One other one I didn't mention, I skipped over on my list, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. So Taysom Hill, you know, got the opportunity last year to start. The market is pretty clear on this one, although it's not clear in a sense of like really expensive confidence, but there is a 4-round difference in their startup ADP. So Jameis is going 904, it's quarterback 28. Jameis is going 1307, that's quarterback 35. So it's a pretty big difference there in terms of the market really thinks it's Winston, although it's not high level confidence, right? There is a spread, there is some confidence, but I wouldn't consider it like elite confidence, whereas you'd put him in the category of some of the guys up higher. You know, if you legitimately thought that Winston was, you know, almost 100% bet to be the starter, you would probably put him ahead of Daniel Jones, ahead of Darnold. You know, you could talk about Brady, Derek Carr, some of the guys going in front of him. He's very close to Derek Carr in Derek Carr going 902, Winston going 904. So that's kind of the conversation. I think if Winston was going to be in, the market was really confident, I think we could begin to see him boost into the seventh round of startup drafts, right? Into that range where, you know, Matt Ryan's going. I think you'd take Ryan over Winston, but then you get Daniel Jones, Darnold, Brady, in sort of that range, I think is an interesting spot for him. Notably, I think Matt Ryan's still undervalued. We'll see if sort of he tracks up a little bit, but 707, quarterback 23 in that range. Again, that's you could see a couple of elite seasons here from him going forward over the next couple of years and really, really outkick that value. So that's it for the questionable quarterback situations, and then we will have more in terms of the backups we're going to target and some of the questionable situations going forward. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.